Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You want to know who the most miserable people on the earth is? The people that know the law, but don't keep the law. It's one thing to be ignorant of what the Word of God says. It's another thing to stand here, and I know, this is not patting myself on the back. Listen to me. I know that you are fed well here. You get 3 solid meals a week. Good stuff. Once again, Brother Anglin knocked it out of the park again this morning. What an incredible lesson applicable to our life. Amen. If we will simply apply it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The spiritually blind, basically, the word says, die. And so, this morning, I can assume that if you're here, you do not want to be spiritually blind. Because the word of the Lord says, if you're spiritually blind, you will die. This church could be triple, quadruple its size if everybody walked through our doors and heard the word, would open their eyes and let it see what the word says and then apply it to their life. But I'm not going to sit here and focus on the negative, all the people that we've lost, when I know that there are a huge number of people that are still waiting to be found. Amen. You can't make somebody see what they don't want to see. But I want to see, and that's what I want to preach to you today. Let me see. Let me see. I'm looking through, actually, a memory popped up July the 4th on my account on my phone, where it has a little bit of, like, looking back what happened, what you posted on Facebook this time last year, this time, you know, for as long as you've been on Facebook. And this one was about 3 years ago. And we were sitting in a park in Granite City on the 4th of July. And somebody snapped a picture of Easton, who was a small little boy at the time, sitting on my shoulders. And there was fireworks in the background. And I remember that very vividly, being a grandfather, how important it was for me to make sure that he had a clear view of what was taking place. He could look around and wander around and see all the people having fun. But until he got to see it for himself, I knew that if we didn't get him engaged, that he was just going to be a handful. He was going to be hard to corral because he was going to be distracted by everything that was down on the ground going on around us. There were other children with, 1200 degree sparklers flying, within inches of each other's face close to us. There was, people that were around us that were obviously, a little bit intoxicated of the day's festivities that they had had, and they'd come out to the park to watch the fireworks go off. There were all kinds of activities going on around us. And I didn't want to lose focus on what I came to see. But I also had to make sure that all of us kept an eye on him as well. And so I thought, well, what's the easiest way to do this? Well, I think we should get him engaged. And the only way to get him engaged is for him to see what I'm seeing. I knew that the music alone that they set the fireworks to was not enough to engage him. But he had to be able to see above the crowd, over the heads of the adults, of everybody else, and be focused upon what was taking place. And I knew once we got him engaged in those fireworks as they were exploding in the air, that I would have him captivated, because it was a very beautiful thing to watch. And that's exactly what happened. I found that it was my job to make sure that my grandson could clearly see above the distractions. This word of God that we read today in the book of Proverbs tells us very simply that we have got to be a church that offers more than just a friendly handshake and a pat on the back. But we must be a church that has a spiritual vision of our future. It's not good enough that we live from service to service. It's not good enough that we come in and we clap our hands and sing the songs and we worship a little bit together and then go back home without anything being changed. But we must see down the road. We must see the visitors that walk through our door as people that have a soul. We must see them as being an eternal being that will live in eternity somewhere. We must be able to see clearly where we're headed, and we must be able to lead the sightless to the healer. I often break down scripture to its core words to help me to get the heart of what I'm to learn from it. I'll spend sometimes quite a bit of time in my Bible reading. I will stop. I'll pull out my resources and begin to look at either a short sentence, maybe even a word that I want to make sure I understand, so that I can put it all in its proper context and help to understand it and glean from it what the Lord is trying to teach me from that scripture. Oftentimes I found that the scripture will preface itself with perhaps a problem and then offer the solution immediately following, especially if you're reading in the book of Proverbs. You know, I've always found it annoying when somebody demands that a problem be solved, but offers no input on how to solve the problem. For years, I've worked for a corporation, and I've had good management and bad management, and I've had different ones come to me. Right now, I have a very good boss, and he's very involved, has an incredible knowledge of the area, and has worked there long enough, and actually done our jobs. And he knows what it takes to get it done, so I don't have this problem at the time being. But in times past, I have dealt with people that have basically come in off the street and taken over the job, and they don't know much about what we do or what it takes to get it done or all the things that we have to face in the course of a day in order to get through the work day and make it a successful thing. And so I have had bosses in the past that have said, hey, I need you to get this done in this amount of time. And I've said, hey, let me tell you something. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm running as fast as I can. I'm driving as fast as the speed limit will allow me to drive. I'm doing everything that I can humanly do. If you can tell me a way, show me a shortcut, you know, fix this thing. If you can show me what to do, then I'll gladly do what you're asking me to do. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm doing the best that I can. Can you tell me how to solve this? And just say, just fix it and don't let it happen again. Well, that's not an answer. But I love it when somebody will come up and say, well, I found over here that you can do this, or you don't have, if you'll hit this, the particular customer at a certain time of day, the dock hands are right there, and that might save you 3 or 4 minutes. I'm like, I'm all over it. Boss, if you can help me figure out a way to be more productive, I've got no problem following your directives as long as they make sense and will work in my day. But don't tell me just to fix a problem when there is no solution to it. You can write everything down on paper, and it might make sense on paper, but the paper didn't tell you that a train was across the tracks for 12 minutes while you were trying to get where you were trying to go, right? The book of Proverbs is not just telling us the problem, but it's giving us the solution in order that we can rise to the occasion. All right? Of course, in this text, we're speaking on a spiritual level, and the crux of the message is no vision equals spiritual blindness, which equals people dying. But then the Bible goes on to tell us the answer. He says, those that follow the law, those that get their nose in the word and don't just read it so that they can say, hey, I read another chapter today, but they read it in order to ingest it. You can prepare a meal all day, set it at the table, but until you sit down and eat it, It does you no good. And we can look at the Bible all day long. We can read it and say, I read my bread chart. I went through 6-8 chapters today. But until we apply it to our life, it does us no good. But I want the word of the Lord, if we're going to fix this problem, to be a part of the fabric of my very essence of my being. Yeah, I want it to become who I am. Bible says, he that keeps the law, he that follows the word is happy. He's happy. Boy, that's something everybody's looking for, isn't it? People are looking for happiness. And the prescription is right here. It's right here in the word. He that keeps the law, not reads the law, but keeps the law. Not knows the law, keeps the law. Is happy. The reason he is happy is because he can see clearly for the first time in their life. Not only can he just see, but he has clear vision. Too many times we have only two categories. We place those who can see over here, and we place those who are blind over here. The found and the lost. And we forget that in between is a vast part of the population that is not really totally blind, but they are impaired in their vision. And that if that is not addressed, that is not dealt with, it can lead to all sorts of problems. See, for most of the world's existence, there was never any help for those who began to lose their sight. Back in biblical days, your vision began to dim, it got poor. And then possibly you went completely blind and there was nothing they could do. There was no surgeries. There was no reading eyeglasses. It wasn't until around 1000 AD that the first reading aid was invented. It was called a reading stone. It was actually a round piece of glass, an orb that they would, a sphere that they would place over what it was that they were reading, and it would magnify the letters so that they could run it along the script and read what was being, what had been written, even though their eyesight was not as good as it once was. Kind of like an old time pair of reading glasses, just a magnification, so to speak. It wasn't until another 300 years later that the first wearable eyeglasses were invented in Italy by Salvino de Armate. Sounds like a good Italian suit to me. If I went into the store and I began to look at fine leather shoes, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to look down and see that the brand was, what's his name? Yeah. Salvino de Armate. And the rest is history. It went on from being eyeglasses, single lens vision. The other day I could not find the ones that I have on here, and so I wore this pair. Bifocals. My first pair of bifocals. I tried and tried and tried to stay away from bifocals. For the longest time, I tried to stay away from bifocals. And I finally got a pair of bifocals, but the years have gone by, and these are now about 7 years old. You probably didn't recognize that I had any different pair of glasses on because they look very similar to the pair that I wear now. They're fairly close. But these, I realize it, and I tell you when I realized it. I realized it when I came up here and I said, okay, let's have a Bible drill. And I said, everybody grab your Bibles. And I looked down at my Bible and I said, where'd my words go? I can't see anything. My wife whispered from behind me. She said, do you want me to do it? I said, you're going to have to do it if it's going to get done. I can't see anything. Because my eyes have changed. The way that I see, the way that my eyes work, they have changed over the course of years. And so I needed a new prescription. I needed something else. And we went from bifocals to now what I have now is trifocals. I mean, I got three different places to look. It's like, you know, I got to figure out. It took me 6 months to try to figure out how to drive down the road. We'd be going down the road. I said, I got to take these things off. Man, I'm going to get us killed. Till I figured this out. Trifocals. I didn't know there was such a thing. My doc says, you need trifocals. I said, what in the world are trifocals? I've never heard of them. He said, well, even though you haven't heard of them, it's what you need. And so I got three different lenses going on here. If I look just right, we're running about 300 today. In Jesus' name, prophetic glasses. We've gone bifocals, trifocals, contact lenses, laser surgeries. We even have glasses that are trendy. I mean, you can find, go down to the store and pick these up. And if you don't really need glasses except for to read, you can make yourself look very studious, or in my case, very ignorant. I don't know what these look like on me. I didn't look in the mirror. I just figured they probably don't look very good. Or we even have people that have the attitude glasses that if you want to look really cool and you just want to look really sharp and have an attitude, you don't even need glasses. You don't even have to have the lenses. You just want to look cool, all right? Attitude glasses. Glasses that become things that are trendy, things that are popular. They go along with people's outfits, and people have red glasses, and they have blue glasses, and they have black glasses. They have all different shades and tiger striped and gold and metal medallions hanging from them and everything and anything you want. There's probably 600 to 700 pairs of glasses down there, but I'm telling you one thing. You better have the right prescription inside of your lenses, or it won't matter what your frame look like. If you don't have the proper prescription, you're never gonna see right. Let me put my glasses back on. I stopped and looked at some sunglasses the other day in a place called the Sunglass Hut. Anybody been in there? Oh, I see y'all are poor. Okay, there's a few of you. Man, there's sunglasses, not even prescription, but sunglasses that cost you a car payment. In there. I picked up a pair. I said, man, these are really cool. He said, those had the best lenses. You'll never find a better pair of sunglasses. You know, this was early on when I was kind of looking around at these things. I said, man, I'm thinking these are probably expensive. These are probably like $60 or $70. I bet you these are, you know, cause I'm that guy that shops at Ross. I've got a pair of sunglasses at home that are $3. I bought them, they're $3. And I'm really spending when me and Brother Hogan went our little trip. I come back home and we both got a pair of sunglasses. Man, big time spender. $15 we spent. They were half price. We got them for $15. And so I'm looking at these sunglasses going, man, these got to be expensive. And I said, how much are these? You ought to know that you're in the wrong place when they don't put the price tag on the product. Basically the old saying, if you got to ask, you can't afford it. He's like, oh, he said, actually, he said, I could probably give you a good deal on those. Those are $329 for those. I'm like, it better be a really, really, really good deal. Got glasses for everything. Glasses to block out the sun. But let me tell you something. I love the way that the Bible can take a physical thing and turn it into a spiritual application. What we must understand is that the devil does not have to have us to be blind in order for us to die spiritually. He says, I don't have to have you doing witchcraft. I can just have you become rebellious. The Bible says rebellion is the same as witchcraft. If I can mask it and make it to seem where you don't see things as clearly as you ought to. And how do we know these things? Because the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us what is right and what is wrong. Amen. If He can impair our vision, He can get us off track enough that you can lose your way to where God wants you to be. You don't have to be totally out on the backside of Sin County in order to lose your soul. You can sit on a pew in a Pentecostal apostolic service where the Holy Ghost is all around you. But until you understand what the Word of God says about the way that you should live, you can walk through this thing blind. And at the very least, impaired, and wind up in the same place. In this building today, there's all sorts of natural vision problems. Most of them, fortunately, can be corrected. For some, you might choose to wear a different lens, or some of you, myself, I can get through the day unless I have to read something up close. I start having trouble, but I can get through the day. But what I've noticed is when I don't have my glasses on a lot of time, my depth perception changes. And I'm tripping and stumbling over things that I would not normally trip and stumble over if I'm seeing correctly. there's hazards along the way that the proper prescription, looking through the right lens, keep me from tripping over. You following what I'm saying? It's not that I'm still going to lose my way. It's not that I can't get through the day, but it could cause an injury along the way somewhere. An injury possibly could lay me up for a long time. In the spiritual sense, we must all be able to see clearly. And it's amazing to me how God gives us the spiritual answers. He doesn't just tell us about the problem without giving us a solution or a fix. There's a condition called hyperopia. Hyperopia. Simply, farsightedness is all it is. It results in the fact that you can't see anything that's close up to you. And in the spiritual sense, there are people that can't see things that are right in front of their face. They can sit and listen to a preacher preach, and he can be anointed. He can be right on spot with where they're living. He can have the answer. But for some reason, there is a vision problem, a spiritual vision problem that keeps them from ever receiving the word for themselves. It's always for some far off, distant place in their life. They can only see further down where they want to be one day. Salvation is always for tomorrow. It's never for right now. But tomorrow never comes, because every time they wake from their sleep, tomorrow is always somewhere off in the distance. You may remember that old television series that would show on Saturdays, Ma and Pa Kettle. I remember that. Oh, don't act so spiritual like you don't remember who Ma and Pa Kettle is. Ma, she was always real bold and always getting on the kids. They had 20-some kids. I don't know. They had tons of kids. And she'd scream and holler, you know, ring the bell, and they'd come and get it. And all the kids would be flying through the gate, you know, of the yard. And the last one through that gate would be just hanging like a hinge. And Ma would be standing there looking at things. She'd shake her head and shut the gate and say, "Pa, you need to fix this gate." And what would Pa say? "Yeah, I'll have to get around to it one of these days." And you knew that gate was never going to get fixed. There is such a thing as spiritual procrastination. And if you let spiritual procrastination decide your fate for you, your fate will never end in the way that you desire it to end, because the change will always be somewhere off into the future when God said, "Today is the day of salvation." He said, "Choose you today or this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house," you see, "I can't make up your mind for you. All I can do is stand and preach the word of God for you, but I can't drag you to an altar. And even if I could, I couldn't make in your mind you serve the Lord. I couldn't cause you to fall in love with God." But I'll tell you what, the flip side of that is there ain't a single person in this room that can separate me from His love. And when I make up my mind to serve Him, when I put Him first and foremost, and I choose that today is the day that I will serve the God, no demon in hell can stop me. No demon in hell can stop you from serving God. We've got to quit blaming everything and everybody for why we can't serve God, and make up our mind that we will serve Him here today. And there's a condition called myopia. Simply the reverse. It's nearsightedness. Occurs when you got too much focusing power. It results in blurred vision. You can't see far away. You can only see up close. I like to apply that to people that live for the moment, never counting the cost of what the decisions that they're making today will cost them in the future. "I'm just going to do this and let the chips fall where they might." You may get more than chips. You may get the whole tree. You see, there's some decision. Now, God can save us from anything. I believe that people can go to prison and have a life-changing experience and go to heaven. But just because that they have determined in their mind that and been set free in their spirit does not mean that the guard says, hey, you know what? You just got the Holy Ghost today. Congratulations. Here, come on out. We're going to let you on out here. You still got 20. There's some decisions that we'll have to live with. Don't make bad decisions today that are going to cost you a lifetime of pain. Hear me. Hear me. Think about what you're doing today. How will this affect my life in the future? There are people that live for the moment. Samson was one of those people. Everybody see what I did with that jawbone? This feels pretty cool. I feel pretty invincible. He began to look at himself in a different way than he should have. He began to put God off to the side thinking, you know what? I can handle anything. I think I'll go dabble with a little beauty named Delilah. I've been able to conquer everything and everybody. Nothing has been able to touch me. I am God's anointed one. I walk in God's spirit. I walk in the anointing. But Samson began to do things. He began to have a spiritual myopia where he began to take what he did today and not realize the consequences that it was going to cause him in the future. And Samson would eventually become completely and totally blinded. Doesn't stop there. There's spiritual presbyopia. A natural aging process that causes the hardened eye lenses and weakened eye muscles. I look at that and I think, you know what? There's people in here that have been in this thing for a long time. But in serving God, we get hurt along the way. We get hurt, and because we get hurt, if we don't treat it properly, if we don't line it up with the Word of God, what will happen is we will begin to harden. We began to harden in our heart towards people, towards things that began to, that took place in our life, towards injustices that came to us, and we began to focus on those things. And when we focus on those things, we'll begin to harden. And because of that hardening, amen, we will begin to spiritually weaken to the point where God can't even speak to us anymore. Spiritual glaucoma. Simply pressure in the eye, which causes loss of side vision, blind spots, poor night vision. It's a serious issue, glaucoma. But it's even more deadly if it's a spiritual glaucoma. These are the people that crack when God quits feeding them candy and the tough times come. They just can't handle a little pressure. See, if you think that serving God, Brother Christian, he spoke this, sometimes it's hard to serve God up front, but it's easier on the backside. I've been serving God now for a long time, and yeah, I've had my battles, I've been made fun of, and I've been poked and prodded at, but let me tell you something, you just stay in the race, you just stay kicking, you stay fighting, and all those jabs, let me tell you something, those people now, after 30 some odd year, they look at me and they say, man, I wish I'd have done the same thing that you did a long time ago. Oh, they were making fun a long time ago, just like they made fun of Joseph. They laughed at his dreams, they laughed at his vision, they laughed at what he thought God was going to do to him. But the day that the fulfillment came to fulfillment, they weren't laughing anymore. And they may laugh at you while you're serving God, but there's coming a day when God is going to fulfill all His promises that He has promised His people that would be faithful to Him and that would see Him for who He really is. And if you will stay faithful to the Lord and not give up and not give in and keep marching this march, God will bring a day of fulfillment into your life. And those that mocked you, those that scoffed at you, those that made fun of you, those that didn't understand you, they'll stand back and say, surely God was on their side. Yes. Mark 8 and 22 said, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, besought him to touch him. I'm going to give you the answer here now. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town, and when they had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him, you see anything? Well, I'm sure the excitement was there. Because the blind man said, yeah, I do. I do. I see men as trees walking. And the crowd went wild. He can see. He can see. But Jesus didn't do a little victory dance yet. He said, you said you see what? He said, I see men as trees walking. He said, we're getting there. We're close. We're headed in the right direction, but we're not finished here yet. And there's a lot of folks that become satisfied with a semi-miracle when God wants to complete a work in you. They get caught halfway. God fills them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They're baptized in the name of Jesus. They love God. They love the church. And then somewhere along the way, they just say, you know what? Put the brakes on right here. This is good enough for me. This is amazing. I see men as trees walking. I can see enough that I can now get around. I don't have to bump into people anymore. I can kind of fit in. I'm not totally blind. I can see shadows. And I can see where people are at. And I can even motivate and motor around. And Jesus said, okay, that's great. And the crowd may go wild for that. But I've got a little bit more of a touch. I've got a second touch that I want to give you. And he said, come here, boy. And he put his hands upon him. And he touched him again. And he prayed again. And he said, now what do you see? He said, now I see everything clearly. And the problem solver is that you got to get a touch from God until you can see clearly everything that God wants you to be. Don't stop halfway. Don't be satisfied with part of the miracle when God wants to completely and totally deliver you. Sometimes the Lord has to be allowed to touch us again. What if he'd gotten so excited that he said, that's incredible. Thank you, Jesus. And turn around and ran off into the crowd. Do you think his family would have been thrilled for him when he got home? Probably. You think people would have called it a miracle? Probably. He's better than he was. But Jesus said, I'm not the God of halfway. It's when we fully commit to Him that He fully completes the miracle in us. Would you stand with me this morning? Touch me again, God. And again and again. Lord, don't ever stop putting your hands upon me until the work is complete. And once the work is complete, you'll be able to see clearly and you'll never stumble and you'll never fall again. I'm talking to people here this morning that have come part of the way and have become satisfied where you're at. God wants to completely give you a clear vision of not just your past, but your future. I know the Word says that we see through a glass dimly. That's in the spiritual things. We could only see what was taking place in the supernatural. That's not talking about His Word that He has given us, the promises that He has made us. For they are a yea and they are amen. Perfect vision involves incoming light rays focusing precisely on the retina. The doctors will tell you that common vision problems occur when light cannot reach the receiver of light, which is called the retina. John John 8:12, Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, Jesus, the Bible says, was the stone that the builders rejected. Just as the reading stone was the first invention that caused man to be able to see things more clearly, Jesus became the first reading stone that helped us to be able to spiritually see things more clearly. And without Him, you'll never make it. I know that sounds exclusive. I know that's drawing a line, but that is simply the Word of God. You need Jesus in order to see clearly. And if you're stumbling, and if you're confused, and if you're having trouble, you just need to come to this altar this morning and look to the stone that will help you understand things clearly. They began to sing this morning, I open up this altar today. I open up this altar today. And I invite you to come. And begin to see things clear. I must see. I must.